So, what are the reasons for modifying the economic order quantity? So, when the vendor offers significant price discount, you know, for quantity purchases, the EOQ may have to be increased. Why? Because your ordering cost and the product cost, we saw in the formula that we are considering the total consumption. Now, in this particular case, your total consumption doesn't change. Your consumption per annum remains the same. Your ordering cost remains the same per order. But what changes is the price of the product. So if you're ordering a bigger number, the cost or the price of the product is going to come down. And that, when you factor it into your formula, you will find that your economic order quantity will change. So economic order quantity cannot be used if the order size is constrained by capacity limitations. So assume that my economic order quantity is coming to, let's say, 1,000, but my supplier is not capable of supplying 1,000. Then I cannot use the formula, because I can place 1,000, order for 1,000, but he will not be able to deliver it to me. So this is what we are referring to here. The annual demand divided by the EOQ, that is 5,300 divided by 500, is 10.6. So the EOQ has to be modified and made into 530, because you cannot have, or we don't want to have a round figure. So we make it, let's say, 10. And when you make it 10, you will be ordering the material 10 times in quantity of 530 numbers or units. And that is how you will be covering your total requirement of 5,300 units. The vendor may stipulate certain minimum order quantity acceptable. If that quantity exceeds EOQ, change in EOQ is a must. Now, many a times it happens that the vendor has a minimum batch size. That means for economic reasons like changeover, etc., or especially in the chemical industry, we have reactor and we can synthesize, chemically react and create a product or a chemical. So there is a batch size. Now, when you run the reactor with a lesser capacity, many a times the product quality may not be to the mark, for the simple reason because there is a stirring involved while the reaction is on, and the stirrer may not be fully utilized, you know, if the reactor is not filled up to a certain minimum level. So in such cases, we clearly specify and we say that quantity is so much. We also offer certain quantity discount, because let us say the minimum quantity in a reactor I can react is 7 tons, but the maximum I can process is 10 tons. And if I do that, my cost comes down, because to run that reaction, I have to charge the material. More or less, my cost remains more or less the same. I require on the reactor, let's say, 2 operators and a helper. So my manpower cost remains the same. My energy cost may slightly vary. But overall, when I look at it, the cost per kg of that material comes cheaper if I produce 10 tons as compared to when I produce only 7 tons. Now, in such a case, my minimum quantity that I will give to my customer is, I will say, you have to place an order minimum for 7 tons. But I can also tell my customer that if you take 10 tons, then I give you an additional discount of 2% or 3% or whatever it may be. So the vendors can stipulate a quantity restriction by saying that you have to place an order minimum for so much quantity. Now, in that case also, although the calculation may say that the economic order quantity is 5 tons, but if the requirement of the supplier is that you place a minimum order of 7 tons, you will have to change it to 7 tons. EOQ may have to be modified to optimize the transportation cost. This is another factor. So let us assume that the material is coming from a distance of, let's say, 800 kilometers. and the freight is going to be, let's say, 20,000 or 25,000. If I bring a full truckload, that transportation cost will be divided over a larger quantity. So my transportation cost per kg will be reduced. But if I bring only half a truckload, then my transportation cost is going to be double per kg. So although for the full truck that I engage, they may charge me still 25,000, but my per kg transportation cost will be double if the quantity is only half a truckload. So you may also have to consider these things, because as we said, we are looking at it in a holistic way. And when we say holistic, we are considering every cost, the transportation cost, the production batch size, and the finished goods transportation to the distribution network. So there is an example given here. You have this store called as Lakshmi Store. They have annual sales of 2,500 bottles. The price of the bottle is 10 rupees. The ordering cost is 10. And the inventory carrying cost is 20%. So in this case, the economic order quantity which they have worked out comes to 500. So that means he has to order 500 bottles at a time whenever he's ordering. So further going on this example, economic order quantity of 500, cost of ordering will be 10 orders in a year. That means you are going to incur 500 rupees as the ordering cost. The cost of bottles will be, because each bottle you are going to purchase is priced at 10 rupees. So you are going to purchase 2,50,000 worth of material by way of this 25,000 bottles. The carrying cost will be the average inventory. That means your economic order quantity is 500, and you will assume that it gets gradually consumed, comes to zero, and again you replenish it to 500. So average inventory will be 500 divided by 2, which is 250. Into 10 orders into 0.2, which is your carrying cost. So that comes to 500 rupees. So your total cost for this entire transaction for procurement is going to be 2,51,000. Now, the supplier has offered a discount. He has given a discount of 2% if the ordering quantity or the order quantity is going to be 1,000 instead of 500. So now look at the calculation. The cost of ordering becomes 250. The cost of bottles become, because your cost is reduced by 2%, 10 rupees has become 9.8. It becomes 2,45,000. And the carrying cost will slightly increase because you're going to now carry higher inventory. So if even after adding all this, you find that there is a saving of 4,770 rupees. So what it means is that if you are getting an offtake discount or a quantity discount, etc., it needs to be factored in, because it can suddenly change your perspective on the economic order quantity. How would you know that a reorder level is reached? And here they have given the example of a two bin or a reserved packet system. So in a two bin system, the moment bins are empty, it's a signal to the replenishment department that it has to be replenished. In the reserved packet system, what you do is, like, for example, and this is used mainly in the engineering spares, etc. Suppose you have bolts. Now, whatever is your the reorder level, that quantity is packed separately, and it's packed in a different colored packet or a bag. So when you have consumed the material, which is without any special packing, that is the time you have not reached the reorder level. But the moment you reach the reorder level, that is when you break the packet, which is red in color or something like that, it clearly indicates that you have reached the reorder level. So it's a signal for the storekeeper that he has to trigger the replenishment of that particular item. So how would you know that a reorder level has been reached? So all the small components have the two bin system. The components are filled in two bins and are kept on the rack one behind the other. The rack has slope similar to the FIFO racks, because in FIFO rack, you know, the one which is behind, the rack which is behind, will be the last one to come for consumption. And the one which has come earlier will always be in front. The components are consumed from the FIFO out lower level side. Once the component gets consumed, the empty bin is kept on the top of the rack, and the bin which is behind the bin one is used. You will see this system in the fast food joints, especially, you know, the burger joints, etc. Behind the counter, delivery counter, you will see this kind of a sloping bin where they will be keeping the burgers, etc. And they are constantly monitoring. So if they find that the number of burgers there is less, they will immediately start preparing that particular kind of burger and they will keep on replenishing it. So the stores person regularly replaces the empty bins with filled bins and are kept behind the bins being used. This system is so foolproof that the production never faces any shortage of material, because it's a visual system. It relies on visual control. So the Kanban system, so what we saw just now is nothing but the Kanban system, the visual replenishment system. Now, the Japanese people initially started with the bins, and then they refined the system and they went on to maintaining cards. So when they put up a card, it's an indication that the reorder level has arrived and replenishment is required. Of course, now the Kanban system has further progressed and now it is automated. So you find it even on ERP system, where automatically once the reorder level is reached, it will flag, and maybe the flag will be directly to the supplier saying that he has to come and replenish this stock. So perpetual inventory records. So these are maintained as a part of the MRP. Each item has a stock card and entries are arranged for every transaction. So what are the transactions for which entries are maintained? So the receipt, whatever material is being received, what is being issued to the process, so that stock on hand are readily available. So you can see what is the stock on hand, how much material is received, how much is issued, what is the net stock on hand. And these details are readily available to the materials manager. So in large business unit, this MRP is automated, and a list of items that have reached the reorder point is provided by the system to arrange fresh orders. So in ERP system, you can opt for different reorder systems. So one is a lot-to-lot replenishment, what we saw, where depending upon the customer order, you want to replenish. Suppose you have received a customer order, and for that you require X number of components. Then it will order the components and it will tell you exactly when those components are required. But suppose you don't want to follow this system and you are dealing with, let's say, some spares, where you want to follow the reorder level. So in the ERP system, you can flag the material by saying that we will be following the reorder system or the fixed interval ordering system, so that this system on its own will calculate, or it will trigger when we say trigger, basically it will generate a purchase requisition which tells the purchase person that he has to trigger the next receipt. So in addition to receipt issues and balances, perpetual record also indicates the quantity on order. So material which has not been received but is already on order will also be seen in the system. Not only that, even if a requisition has been raised on which the procurement department has not placed an order, that also you can see it in the MRP system. So the indicates the quantity on order, and quantity assigned against customer or production orders. So this is another thing that assume that you have X number of items in your inventory. Now there is a firm customer order which has come in. Then it will also assign the quantity required for that particular order, so that that quantity cannot be assigned to any other order. It will be, the reason why this is being done is you are committing the delivery to the customer. So based on the available stock, you have promised to the customer that this product will be available, say, after 5 days. Now, suppose this material is issued for some other order, then you will fail on your delivery commitment already given to the customer. And that is the reason the system of assignment against a customer or a production order is followed, so that, you know, the order which comes later on will be assigned material which is balanced or material which is about to come. So it kind of reserves the material, but the available to promise, that means the delivery date committed, will be based on the remaining quantity or the quantity which is yet to arrive. So this is an example of the perpetual inventory record. So as you can see, you are able to see here what is the quantity on order, what quantity is received, how much quantity is issued to the process, what is the balance quantity at any given point of time, and out of this quantity, if any quantity is assigned to a customer or a production order, that also can be seen here. So what is the quantity available? I mean, you have all the information at a glance available in the MRP system when you're following this perpetual inventory record. And we call it perpetual because it's a continuous process. It keeps on capturing and computing the balance quantities, the assigned quantities all the time. So anytime you go into the system and you take a look at it, it will give you a snapshot at that particular point of time. Look at this example of Vishnu Stores. Vishnu Stores sells 110 lipsticks every day, and it buys from Gen distributors every week. So that means he is placing an order every week, not in between. Okay, so once a week he is placing the order. Now Gen takes 4 days to deliver the lipsticks after the order is placed, and Vishnu will receive it after 4 days from the time he places the order. Now based on the past experience, Vishnu Stores prefers to keep 20 lipsticks in safety stock. So he finds that 20 lipsticks is a good enough safety stock that he needs to maintain. The maximum level for the lipstick under these circumstances works out to be, the formula is 150 into 7, because you know it's a weekly ordering, correct? So he needs to have 7 days stock, because at a time, you know, 1 week consumption is what he needs to hold, plus the 4 days which is of the lead time. So totally 11 days stock is what he has to hold. So 150 into 11 plus the safety stock of 20 units. So this comes to 1670 units. So this is the maximum stock that Vishnu Store will be holding of the lipstick. So inventory record under materials requirement planning. And this is similar to the earlier example that we saw, how material requirement planning is calculating the inventory requirement. So they have given the order quantity is 230, the lead time is 2 weeks, and how the system will throw up the material requirement. You can see this. So the gross requirement and what are the scheduled receipts, what is the projected quantity on hand, what the system projects as what will be the quantity on hand, and the planned order release. So it will also tell you when the order needs to be released. And since 2 weeks is the lead time for delivery, you can see here that it has given a planned delivery order release here, and after 2 weeks the planned receipt is shown. That means if everything goes well, if the delivery of the material is made as planned, then you will receive it after 2 weeks. And based on that, what will be your stock level? So, and here this is shown as week 1, 2, 3, 4. In MRP system, it will actually give you the actual dates. So you can see by date how your inventory will be moving based on your forecast, on your receipts, based on the purchase requisition that the system has generated, asking you to place orders. So with that, we come to the end of this chapter. Thank you.